Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is November the 19th, 2024, and what a day the Lord has made. This is a day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. It's a little bit wet out there this morning. A little storm rode through last night about 11:30 or so.
Did it wake you up?
It did. Well, I wasn't fully asleep yet.
Oh, okay.
But it was a good... I like storms, like in the middle of the night. It wasn't like a dangerous one or anything like that. It was just a nice, good storm. And I like the rain. And I like to sleep to a good storm. I don't know why it is, but I don't know. It was.
What time did it roll in? Pretty late?
It was about 11:30, 11:45.
I was in bed by then, bro.
Yeah, you guys would be proud. Ethan and I have been getting to bed earlier and earlier.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, still probably not as early as some. But, I mean, 10 o'clock for us is completely out, completely asleep by then. Man. It's pretty early.
It's crazy, but it seems like the younger ones anymore, they're getting smarter because they're going to bed pretty early. My daughter and son-in-law and Ryder, at 9 o'clock, it's like, hey, if we ain't in bed, I mean, they'll be even be at our house like at 7:30. Like, hey, we got to go. I said, what you got to go for? We got to get to bed. Well, I'll be.
Yeah, I have siblings that are, sisters and their husbands. They go to bed at like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Some of them.
I remember when me and Rachel, of course, Maddie was like 1-2 years old. It was nothing for us. And this is bad. I know it is. But it's when Walmart was 24 hours a day or whatever. I mean, it was nothing for us to just 11 o'clock be say, hey, let's go to Walmart. And we go to Walmart, do our grocery shopping. And I mean, it was nothing to. I mean, we.
But
did
it wasn't really that bad because it was so easy to shop at that time.
I know it. And to be honest with you, the Clarks up the road here, and they're in their 80s, and we would go there every time we'd go on a Friday night late, they would be there, and they was in their 60s then. And it was like, at Walmart that late. So I was like, wow, y'all are there late. They said, yeah, this is just when we come.
When we shop.
And, yeah. So.
Everybody else was probably
Luann and Everett Clark, they'd be there about every time we was there on a Friday night, late 11 o'clock or so. They'd be there shopping.
So when did you move to the old person schedule?
The old person. Well, I don't know. It's probably, I don't know. It ain't been a whole long time, but anyway, I know
maybe
last
since work.
It might have. That's right. It might have been last night because last night about 8 o'clock. I'm telling you, I'm about falling asleep on the couch.
I guess every once in a while I go to bed early, but I don't know.
When did you switch to the old person schedule?
I'm not on the. Honestly, I will say this. Yesterday, I actually didn't do a lot yesterday afternoon, evening. It's the first time I really didn't do anything. But most of the time, it's a good possibility I may still be doing some kind of work or something or working on something or just, until late. So,
well, we should have invited you over to Young Adult because we had a lot of extra desserts. We did like Thanksgiving type foods last night. And we didn't have as much main course, but we had a lot of desserts.
Did y'all have cheesecake?
It was like a no-bake. Have you had like a no-bake cheesecake before? Yeah, it was like one of those.
That's awesome.
It got destroyed.
If it has cheesecake in the name, I probably had it.
And they did not. I mean, she said we was going to invite you, but I mean,
I thought about it. I really did because I was like, I don't. There's so many desserts here, and we need some people.
Who else could we invite? Oh, Aaron, he'd eat it. That's what was going on there in the head.
I just thought, the Wilsons, they probably would like.
Well, at least they're thinking about you anyway, brother.
Well, they're thinking I'm fat and like dessert, but at least they're thinking about me, Josh.
That's what they think about me, too. They say, hey, bring him a sweet and he'll be good to go. You're right.
No, I'm supposed to be staying away from it, so I need somebody else to eat it for me. I tried the no-bake and it was really good. And I honestly, with the no-bakes, they probably are a little healthier because they don't have all the extra stuff that you put in with baking the cheesecake.
Right.
But anyways, it was good. We had ham and mac and cheese, and honestly, it was more of your type Thanksgiving. Ham, mac and cheese, biscuits, and not the sweet potato casserole. You'll leave that out.
What?
And I'm not big on ham. I like honey ham, the sliced honey ham and stuff like that. But ham on Thanksgiving, I'm just not a huge fan of.
You're more turkey.
I'm more turkey.
Well, the mac and cheese and bread, those were the sides. So that did arrive.
That's a good side. Yep.
But everybody did like the ham because how I made it was with the brown sugar.
Yes.
And yep. So, and it wasn't like, it was like kind of more fried too. So it was pretty good. But, and then we did love the, Aaron hooked us up with a study. That is everybody really likes it so far. We've only made it through the first chapter, but it's really good. Fundamentals of the Faith. So,
oh yeah,
I think it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be really good.
My wife just reminded me. She said when we moved to our new house, that's when we can no longer stay up late.
Greg Carwell said turkey for him too.
Turkey. Yeah. I don't know why I've always liked ham better.
Oh, Miss Rachel.
Except for deep fried turkey. That was really good when I had that.
As always, I have two empty seats in here. One of these days.
She's preparing for our grandson and daughter to come over. It used to be daughter and whoever, but now since a grandson is here, we always say grandson and daughter to come over today. So, anyway, we say grandson first.
Well, we don't have a lot of announcements, so I don't feel bad for taking up a little bit of time. But can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
Miss Rachel's, I feel like, well, there's already a Miss Rachel, so I probably shouldn't call her that. But Rachel, your wife, her decorating skills, oh my goodness. Looks straight out of a Hallmark movie or something. A Christmas movie.
And she said, I don't think we're going to. I said, do what? I said, Ryder's first Christmas and you're not going to decorate?
It looked so good. It looked so good. And the gingerbread, I've been loving the gingerbread this season, and man, that it just looked so good.
Well, I always bring it up for her, and she does all the decorating.
She puts
stuff
it, makes it.
So I like going to work, and then when I come back, and the house is just like transformed over a day. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, walking in a new house over the next 7 weeks, I'll have a brand new home I'm walking into. So.
I'll help you decorate your house.
That's what everybody tries to tell her. But anyway, so she said, well, I'll decorate my own. So that's about it. So,
well, all right. December 6, 2024, Bethel Christian Academy Christmas play. A Savior is Born. It will be here that night at 7 o'clock p.m. And we are having Bring Your Favorite Christmas Dessert. It's like a little BCA Christmas bake-off here. There will be a prize for first, second, and third place.
There will be judges.
There will anonymous. Be judges, and that will you need to have your dessert in by 6:30 for that. And then Winter Awakening here at Bethel with Brother Lance Johnson will be December 11th and 12th, those nights. We're still figuring out the start time. Maybe it'll be 6:30 or 7. We're working on that. So we are excited for what God's going to do in those 2 days here at
Amen.
Bethel.
Amen.
And then Brother Todd and Brother Phil leaves for Honduras next Thursday on Thanksgiving. I think it's the day they head out. So please continue to be prayer for them as they're going to go down there and see so many children's lives changed and the body equipped and that city and that region's really being changed for the glory of God from these VBSs. So definitely be covering that in prayer for them. Brother Alonzo and Miss Deanna's back in Puerto Rico, and they're already hitting it hard down there. And I know they are so joyful to be back there. We will be there with them December 15th through the 20th. We have a team of 5 going. I think it's an amazing thing. I think we have 3 students from BCA going on this mission trip. So I love that. I just think it's awesome. And really, the church sowed into them Sunday. And after all said and done, we would have raised, I think, just shy of $1,800 for those 3 kids' trips once everything's said and done. So still a little bit ways to go, but it's going to be life-changing for them. And so we're just excited they have the opportunity. And then, of course, Brother Josh Milner, not this Josh, sorry, our own Josh. Josh Newton's going to be with me as well down there. And so
that's awesome.
He's going to go, and I know he's stirred and ready to roll. And so we're excited for that December 15th through 20th. And it was just it's going to be a great time down there. And we're believing God for many souls and many things to be done for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I know that we have been praying for Brother Lance in Pakistan, and of course you get on his Facebook and see all the videos and all that that's been going on. It seems to have been an incredible trip, so I'm not for sure if they're back yet or still over there.
If they're not back, it's in the next day or two.
Yeah, so. But I guess we can talk openly because they've been releasing on Facebook. But it's it looks like it was an amazing trip, and we'll definitely have to get him on and share what happened
for sure.
There. Yeah. And remember, he has a program here on Box 2 now. Airs on Sunday and Wednesday. So just really excited for all that the Lord's doing and all that he's moving in. And Josh, how was your all service on Sunday?
Very well, very well. We I had a couple of guys, of course you got guys that I can count on or whatever, and well, anyway, it's getting closer to time. They said, hey, we got to go get chairs. I said, well, let's go get them. So we went and got chairs. But anyway, we liked everything but having somebody in a chair. So all the pews were pretty full. But, I mean, I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing there. Of course, Sister Rita and Sister Rachel, they do our Sunday school program with the kids. And I think there were 24 kids.
Wow.
And so anyway, then at the end of the service, you know, I had a very good response out of this. But all of a sudden, the kids started coming out with a glass of water. Okay, and y'all may have heard this or seen this on Facebook or on TikTok or what. But what happened was this lady said that come to the pastor and said that, yeah, I'm getting ready to leave the church. Said, I see this one texting. I see this one talking. I see this one moving around. I see this one doing this. So the pastor comes and gives her a glass of water. Says, all right, I want you to walk around the church next time there's service or whatever. So she walks around the church and then gives the cup of water to the pastor and said, yeah, I'm out. She said, he goes, how many people did you see on the phone? Said, nobody. How many people did you see talking? Nobody. How many people did you see doing this or that? She said, nobody. Why? Said, what do you think the difference was? The pastor said, because you was focused on that water. So if you're focused in on what you need to do for the Lord, don't worry about what everybody else is doing, then that's when you can really grow. So anyway, so all the kids come out with a glass of water, and I'm sure the dose was like, what are they doing? So anyway, then Rachel told that little parable or story about that, and so it really touched a lot of people's hearts, and even on that. So anyway, so it's pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah.
Amen.
I talked about come out from among them, be ye separate, be ye separate. So anyway. But it went well. So then Sunday night, we had another great service. Had several people out and several people out Sunday night, but Sunday morning was amazing. So anyway.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we got Romans chapter 11. We are in verse 30. We didn't make it very far yesterday. Oh. My sausage on the stick is still being digested here. For just as you were once, at one time, disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, again, talking to the Gentiles, because Israel had been their disobedience, you who were once disobedient, God has now received with mercy, so they too have become disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. And so they too who have been disobedient, in order that they by mercy show to you they also have received mercy. For God has cosigned all to disobedience that excuse me, my eyes have you ever get those really bad allergies and your eyes are just hurting?
Wow,
this is 3 days in now, so
that's awful.
Bear with me because I'm struggling to read here. That he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or has given to him a gift to him that he might be repaid. For from him and through him, to him all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Again, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. So I just kind of read through that because we have been talking about this for days now.
Right.
Just how the Gentiles were brought in because of Israel's disobedience. And Paul's reminding him, just as he did in Corinthians and just as he does in other parts of the scripture, that, well, you don't become so haughty and prideful and arrogant to think you've achieved righteousness by within your own self, that whatever you have is a gift of God, and that he gave you that, and that he has equipped you, and he has one that brought you in. So the foolish things of the world he made wise.
Yep.
And this is the same conversation he has with Corinthians, who's become very arrogant because of their wisdom and their speaking ability and their giftings. And they become very arrogant, and he's reminding them, like, whatever you have, it's because of the Lord who's brought you
right here.
And it's a similar thing with the Gentiles here. He's reminding them, like, the same way that the only reason you've received mercy is because Israel become disobedient. And just as Israel's become, just as you were disobedient and received mercy, Israel will also receive mercy eventually. Right.
Do you think that probably in talking about the people of Israel, they got to the point of where they thought, well, I'm just God's people and that's enough, and not thinking that, hey, nobody else can come in, so I just do what I want to do and things like that. I mean, and I'm thinking about even the church today, how I believe that it seems like the few that I've personally now, and I know that I've heard it nationwide, I've heard it in different regions, how a great gathering and a harvest is happening right now. But personally, the people that I've seen come to the Lord and really get dedicated to Jesus, gave their hearts to the Lord just over a year ago, a few of them, you know, it seems like they've hit the ground running, is what I'm saying. So do you think that just as Israel thought to the place of where they thought, all right, I'm God's people, that's it, but then when he come for the Gentiles as well, and then now it's almost like, even though we're grafting it by the blood, but we as a church think that sometimes just being a church people, oh, we're God's people, we're good to go. But now he's having another gathering in of saying, listen, I'm going to have people that's going to do what I say instead of you just thinking you're okay, just sitting there and pretty much doing nothing. So.
Well, I think it's actually a separation of the sheep and the goat, the wheat to the tare.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think what's happening in the body of Christ today is it's not a separation just of those who are doing right and doing wrong.
Right.
It's a separation of those who are being discipled and those who are just feeling a religious duty.
I got you.
And I think what's coming in is he's making this deep cleanse on people, and he's
Amen.
Doing this deep cleanse on the church, and he's drawing us closer. And I think what you're going to see myself is, and again, I think we have to always think of this correctly. The Lord doesn't move quickly a lot.
Come on.
Like, the end result seems quickly. But when you really think about it, it's always a long game. And I think over the next 5 to 10 years, and this is how I see it, if the Lord tarries, you know, if he comes back, great. But over the next 5 to 10 years, I can very well see the church beginning to look radically different in the United States of America, because I think what the Lord's doing, he's not just dealing with pornography and adultery and embezzlement and theft. He's dealing with unforgiveness and slandering and discord and gossiping and pride and arrogance and religiosity and traditions of men that's drawing us away from Christ, not to Christ. He's going to deal with our entertainment. He's going to deal with our man-made centeredness. And really, I see Isaiah one moment happening in the church to where the Lord's looking down and he says, I'm disgusted by your actions. And these are people that's doing everything because he says, your heart's far away from me.
Right.
And I can see what's going to happen in the church, and I can just sense this because I'm hearing from people all over, and I'm talking to people, and I'm talking to people who have that prophetic anointing. I'm talking to pastors, I'm talking to leaders, I'm talking to everybody, and every conversation I've had with people has been the same. There seems to be a push back to biblical Christianity, and what in the world does that look like? Because what we have today doesn't resemble what they did in the New Testament. And I'm not talking about wearing robes and, you know, going back to synagogues. What I am talking about is the productivity and the building of the kingdom in the spirit.
Yeah.
We don't pack that. Like, and I don't mean to get into a tangent, but
no,
one more minute, I'll shut up.
Good.
And we'll get back to Romans. I've been studying a lot in the New Testament, how the Lord responds to people not of the faith and how he responds to people of the faith. Because I made a statement Sunday, and I could feel the pushback, but I called before we left worship and went into the Word. I felt the stirring of the Spirit to pray for people.
Yeah.
So I said, if you're battling with something in your body, or and really what the Lord showed me Saturday night was, if you are trying to get pregnant and you can't, we want to pray for you. And I opened it up to several different things, but this is what I told them, and I felt impressed to do so. And so for the last day or two, I've been checking my own theology and checking my own heart to make sure I was right, and I don't have to repent for saying it like that. I said, I don't want you to come up here and think you can pray your way out of disobedience.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of times we sit there and say, I'm going to pray and have faith, and faith's going to activate the answer even if my disobedience is the cause of the issue. And so I told him, I said, if you're going to come up here to get pregnant, you're not coming up here. We're not going to pray for you. And I know this sounds harsh, but it's either we draw the line or we don't.
Yeah.
I said, we're not going to pray for you if you're not married. Because I see churches doing that all the time. We're praying for couples that aren't married to have babies, and we're praying for this and that. That is completely contrary to God's word. So we're praying for God to bless and ignore his word. He's never ignored his word.
Right.
He's never overlooked his ways. And even to that extent, like even health in our body. And this is why I was starting to unpack. If there's sin in our life that needs to be repented of, or actions that we're taking, I think we have to be careful that we don't use faith as a trump all card to excuse our disobedience and our sinful lifestyles. And so I try to check myself in Scripture to make sure I'm right. And I started to think about this. Look at the New Testament church, and this is what I was doing yesterday all through my brain. And that's very small, so it was very hard. My head hurt most of the day. Jesus was revealing himself to people through miracles, signs, and wonders in the kingdom all throughout the gospel. But when he dealt with the church in Corinth, he wasn't like just having blind mercy on them. He says, some of you are sick because you're in sin with the Lord's Supper.
Wow.
And he said, some of you are even dying because of your sin with the Lord's Supper. That's not me. That's the Bible. And I think sometimes the Lord's reminding us that when we know the truth, we have a responsibility to live by the truth. And sometimes we want God's hand to get us out of our disobedience. And we've learned with Saul back in the Old Testament that obedience is greater than
sacrifice.
Because we could sit there and say, well, we have faith. We gave away all those cows. We gave away all that stuff that you told us not to take home, but we did anyways. But we gave it away because that's what good people do. That's what Christians do. But the Lord's turned back and said, I wanted your obedience, not your sight. And nowhere in the New Testament do we find that we're excused from obedience or we're exempt from reaping what we sow.
That's right.
We just don't find it. And so what you're saying with this whole separation issue, I think the Lord's getting us, he's going to push the church back to the standard we're called to live at instead of keep lowering it so that we don't have to rise up.
Yeah.
And we're the ones lowered the bar. He never has.
That's exactly right.
And what I fear in my own heart for the modern American church, and this isn't somebody that sits on YouTube and critiques everything. This is from somebody who's serving the church every single day and lives to serve the church. And I love the church. I think we've been in a Romans 1 moment to where we think we're so good, but in reality, we're storing up wrath in the day of wrath.
Yeah.
And so you just said all that, and that's what's been in my heart.
Hey, and I know that when I say different things like that, that will stir people up, but that's what we're called and told to do. I mean, that's how we learn. That's how we grow. You know, where do we get in this concept of, well, what I say is it, and that's going, no, what I say is helping you to further your relationship and also your thought pattern of how the Lord allows you to read and study the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's why I tell people, I said, look, we're not all going to be able to learn the same. We're not going to all be able to do the same. But even though throughout Scripture we see different writers that wrote the Bible, but they were inspired by God, but still yet every bit of this book is linked together throughout Romans, throughout all the New Testament. Even the New Testament coincides and relates to the Old Testament. I mean, just how great our God is to use so many different people, but still have one objective. That's to get people to Him. You know, He still has a people. He still, you know, even Brother Aaron, you say, well, obedience is greater than sacrifice. And I mean, we still understand that. I still, that even though that's an Old Testament principle, it's actually a standard of how we must live by and we must do the work. I mean, just as, you know, throughout that whole verses that we read about obtaining mercy and about believing and about, you know, about the things that He expects, even though you are His child, but still yet there's an expectation as His child that we must abide by. And I'm thankful that, you know, for the ones that abide by it. And it makes me sad for the ones that ain't, but still yet I'm thankful for the ones that do.
Yes. And we can go verse after verse of obedience and following His ways and following right. His word, but I do think, and I guess we're done with Romans because we're out of time, but I do think this whole ideology that has crept into the church, the cross was never there to exempt us from walking in His ways.
Amen.
It was there to actually empower us to walk in His ways.
Yes.
And to be able to, and not go back and fulfill the law. That's not what we're talking about. Paul says righteousness according to the law is dead. Yep. Righteousness found in Christ Jesus. But we're not talking about sacrificing bullocks and goats. We're not talking about fulfilling every tittle and every T. Christ has fulfilled the law for us. Now what we're supposed to do, if we love Him, keep His commandments. And if you look at the context of that statement, he's talking about His word that He has told them, the eternal life, the words of eternal life that Peter said He has. All that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all that Peter and Paul is writing to us, those are still His commandments. Those are still, and even Paul said, this is not a commandment of God, but this is my commandment. This is what I've been revealed to. This is it. And so if Paul's willing to say that, he's saying that he's still writing commandments, though. It doesn't stop with the Ten Commandments. Paul's actually acknowledging there's commandments that I'm writing you that is behalf of God. Like, these are things that are commanded for you to follow and for us to be obedient to. And this isn't about, like, salvation. This isn't about, like, being saved, staying saved. This is about there's things happening in our lives right now that is a direct consequence of sin that we're unwilling to repent for, and we think we can have faith that trumps our disobedience. And I think that's what the Lord is coming for, is that there has to be great repentance, there has to be great change. And I'm talking about, like, the deep, deep work.
Yeah,
and I feel like there's a deep consecration and a deep sanctification coming to the body of Christ. And anything good that we have is from God, and it's His goodness that He's allowing us to come here, because the reason that Corinthians were getting sick, and the reason they were being turned over because of their sin, and the reason they were even dealt with, is because the Lord loved them enough that He's trying not to get them to commit that sin unto death. He's trying not to get them to completely turn their back on Him. He's trying to pull them, and He's telling them, even in 1 Corinthians 11, when He's dealing with communion and the love feast and the sexual perversion that was happening during communion time as the church and all these kind of different things, he said, deal with this sin yourself before God has to come deal with it, because if God comes deal with you, He will discipline you. And He's saying He will discipline you so that you could be made right and you will not be judged. And so there's that. If you ask me, Pastor Josh, that's, I think over the next 5 to 10 years,
yep,
He's going to deal with a lot of hypocrisy. He's going to, and I'm not saying that if you've ever committed a sin, He's going to cut you off. I'm saying if you're living in unrepented sin and you're not willing to adjust and you're not willing to grow and you're not in your word and not praying, then I think things are going to start to get very difficult in the church. Because here's what I think He's sick of: people saying they're a disciple of Him but living in darkness.
Oh, that's exactly
First John. It's First John over and over. And as you said, I don't know what you preached yesterday. You said the title, but called out. Yeah. Well, how are we called out? We are called out of the darkness. He's right. Put us in the kingdom of light, Colossians 1. And we are called to bear fruit. And we're called to walk in light, not darkness. And this thing is greater than just not sinning. It is including not sinning. But, I mean, this thing is about those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Come on.
And so it's time that we partner with the Holy Spirit. We give ourselves fully to Him. We walk in His ways. And we are conformed in the image of the Son. And I could preach on this all day because this is where my heart's been for about a month now. And getting things right in the body of Christ. And I guess for me, and I'll just shut up the rest of the morning because I'm a...
No, hush.
Josh brings it out in me. I'm sick of doing things man way. Like, I'm sick of man's way in the church. We've built our own little systems. We've built our own little kingdoms. And it is time. Over the next 5 to 10 years, I can just really see Christianity beginning to look different in America.
Yeah.
And I hope it's a more biblical Christianity that we return to.
Amen.
And amen. I think what we've done is we've minimized Christianity. We've softened it. We've taken the Bible and made excuses not to follow it all because we're afraid to hurt people's feelings, or we're afraid to be radical, or we're afraid to be cultish, or we're afraid to be weirdos, or we're afraid to be judging, or we're afraid to do this. We're afraid of what the world's going to say. But I'll just say this. I think it's a revelation that says something about cowards. And I think it's time that we as the body of Christ stop being cowards.
That's it. That's it. Amen.
And if we want Bible results, we better have Bible ways.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right, I'm done. I'm going to turn off my mic the rest of the morning.
Oh, hush.
Y'all take it.
You are not.
Let me read. Can I read this real fast?
Well, yeah.
I got the mic. I guess
you got the mic. You got the buttons. I mean, you know.
I'm going to read our first trivia question.
That's
but
right.
Revelation 21, 7 through 8. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mine.
Nope.
That's Revelation
straight out 21:8. That's right.
Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What king sentenced Daniel into the lion's den? What king sentenced Daniel into the lion's den? We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Hallelujah. Come, Jesus, come. You know, some days you're just like, Lord, come, right? Come, Lord, come. I've had a couple of those days before.
You better believe it. Uh-huh. Has there been a day where I haven't said that? Let me think for a minute. No, I don't
say it. But no, it's a beautiful morning out there. A little nippy, a little bit wet, but still a beautiful morning. We have an answer for that trivia question. Miss Mandy Gordon was the one to call, but Easton knew the answer as well. So I'm just saying Mandy and Easton. There we go. But congratulations. Great job. Get your name in for the drawing there. And looking right along, we didn't have Kingdom Corner yesterday, so now we're going to get Kingdom Corner today. And today, Josh, we will get to, I think it's been like 2 weeks.
It's all right.
You just bring the anointing and you just
I
get this flow
going. I love
getting
stirred up, I guess, brother, because like I said, it's fine. That's fine.
Well,
we're
stop
good.
It. Cause
iron
you're,
sharpening
we're
iron.
All right. We're all right. But, we got a guest today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
awesome.
Miss Megan Fortner, actually.
Okay.
She's going to be giving
good.
Her testimony of what has recently happened with her accident and how God's moved in her life.
All right. That sounds great.
And that answer, but let me just get that out there. What king sentenced Daniel into the lion's den? It was Darius, Daniel 6:16.
Sounds awesome.
All right, Miss Hannah, take us into the Kingdom Corner, then we'll get in some Bible questions for this morning.
Okay. I did want to read this real quick before I go into Kingdom Corner. When we were talking about the conversation earlier, the scripture from 1 Peter came to mind. when it's quoted, what the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. And I think that that's one of the biggest things with, you know, what coming out from among them, and what Aaron was talking about with the church really starting to be the church and stop living otherwise and living in darkness, is it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So I think that's just another scripture that just backs up exactly what we're talking about this morning, and that came to my mind. So wanted to read that.
That's good.
But then I'm in Colossians. I've really loved Colossians lately. Yesterday we were talking about our favorite letters that Paul wrote and our favorite epistles. And I think my top right now are Romans, Ephesians, and Colossians.
There you go.
So I'm starting in chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then it goes on to talk about, and I don't think I'll have time to get to that, so I might get to that later, the Christian household.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this, whenever it's saying, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. First, we have to have the word dwelling in us before we can come together with those songs and the hymns and singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Because if we don't have the word of the Lord in us, then there's going to be nothing to flow out. So I love that, because it's just... yesterday, we really focused on just the introduction to basically the faith, is how important the word is to our life and how it has to be the basis for everything. But I love how it says that here. But I want to hit on when it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I know I've probably actually used this verse before in a Kingdom Corner. And talking about like doing things, I don't know. I know once I gave a story, and I don't know if it was through Kingdom Corner, but me and Ethan doing the dishes to the glory of God, like doing things that we don't actually enjoy doing. But the Lord also reminded me, you know, I was at the hospital yesterday, and there's a lot of people, you know, I was going for some testing and stuff, nothing like, you know, it was all just normal routine things. But, like, there's a lot of people going through things and battling things. And I think he uses this verse to remind me, too, that, you know, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him. That's when we're going through things that we're not enjoying, or the hard times, too. You know, whatever we do, whether it's going to our doctor's appointment, whether it's, you know, having that hard conversation that we've been dreading to have, to a confrontation at work or with a friend or whatever it is, there's things that we have to walk through, and it's not always sunshine and rainbows, but to be able to praise him in the midst of that and reflect his character while we're walking through it. That's the true testimony. Like, you know, I was getting my blood taken, and, you know, my finger pricked and my blood drawn and stuff, and, you know, the girls walked in, and they were kind of automatically assuming that it was just going to be a terrible day, because I had to stay there for 3 hours and couldn't leave the room. And they were saying things like, oh, we probably just ruined your whole day, didn't we? And, you know, just saying different things. And I think, you know, somebody even, you know, used a cuss word. And, but I could tell that was just their normal talk. They didn't realize anything by it. But I saw that the Lord gave me opportunities to be able to just talk about him and talk about how, yeah, I mean, this isn't fun. Like, this isn't the most exciting visit that I've ever had, but I still have the joy of the Lord. And I was praying on my way here, just giving me opportunities to give him glory in the midst of a time that, you know, everybody else is like, well, this just stinks. This isn't fun. This is just going to be a terrible 3 hours, you know?
Right. Right.
And I guess he's just reminding me too, that, you know, we give thanks to him in every every season. In the times that are like really bad times and the times that are just like boring times, like there's nothing great going on. Maybe, you know, last night we had a girl talking about, you know, there's certain books of the Bible where she gets the goosebumps. She gets the Holy Ghost goosebumps and it's like, wow, like this awesome revelation. And then she's read some parts of the Bible and she's struggling. She knows that Jesus is on every page and in every word, but she's struggling and she's not feeling those goosebumps like she was and maybe another part of the word. And all of that to say, though, we can still do it all in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, reflecting him, giving honor to him, and looking for him in every single opportunity that we have. And so
it's so amazing how you bring that out. And I mean, just think it, I mean, it reminds me, all leaves nothing out. I mean, so whether, you know, you think about testimonies, your own testimony, how they was thinking, oh, man, I'm sure it's, you're just bummed that you're, well, I mean, at least everything's probably going to be all right. I'll be okay. And I mean, it reminds me of, I can't help but tell this testimony about, and I even expressed it again Sunday at church, about how my wife, that at 31 years old, found out she had cancer.
Yeah.
And then three and a half years later, come back, you know, three times. And now, even though her levels were up the last time, they're still, you know, they're holding steady and they're lower than it was maybe last time. Yeah. But still yet, through it all, it's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And it's almost like she looks at me and says, we're going to trust Jesus.
Amen.
It's like I had to be reminded. You think of anybody that need to be reminded that I would know, but still yet in the middle of a trial, in the middle of all that, we're still going to trust Jesus, still do what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and so when you say in all things, you know, oftentimes, Hannah, as a pastor, you hear this or you hear that. And I mean, I'm there for people. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know, I can pray for them, and I want the Lord to heal them and set them free, and because he made them to be free. But at the end of the day, I mean, we got to realize that in all things. Because, you know, even in the last 20 years or so of ministry, you hear people say, well, what about this? And why does this happen? Why does that happen? But, I mean, it would be probably kind of a little hard for me to tell them exactly, all right, well, it says it's whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you're not doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's going to be hard to have that joy that you have right now, even in the middle of a trial.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Amen. We had a listener chime in as well. I agree, we should give praise and glory to God in everything. Be thankful because someone is probably worse than us. Sometimes it's hard to praise him in the storms.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, because I often say, look, you think your situation bad until you hear somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so but that's why it's also good to have people in your corner that you can talk to.
Yeah, that's okay. Praying for you.
And see, here we are in Hannah's corner right now. We can talk to Hannah right now. So, but what I'm saying is, you know, understanding that, look, that at the end of the day, I feel as if Brother Ernest probably thought this too. I don't know if I really helped them. I don't know if I really said anything to them. But at the end of the day, you get a text, say, thank you for just being somebody to listen.
Yeah.
Thank you for just somebody to have an ear to, you know, just listen to what I got to say. Because a lot of people, they have things to say and they keep it boiled up inside them. But it does help. I don't know if it does you guys or not. But like a situation with even with work or things like that, you know, keep it in. But if if you're able to talk it over with somebody, it's like it just releases something.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because, I mean, the Lord don't want you to not only, you know, he's always with you. You're never alone. But see, yet he's got people also that's going to be with you also.
Yeah. And then even, you know, when you go into something worshiping and having the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you get a result you didn't want. You prayed, Lord, I'll praise you either way, but then you get the bad news.
Right.
You know, I have to remind myself too of, okay, Lord, well, I praise you either way. Like, this is in all things, in word or deed.
That's it.
In whether it's the good results or the bad results, or the good times or the bad times. And sometimes, I mean, my flesh wants to jump to, you know, not praising and worry or fear and all those things. But I'm just thankful that that this verse reminds us that, you know, that we can give thanks to him and do all of these things to the glory of him, because in all things, if we love him, all things are working together for right. the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
If we're truly his, he's going to work it together.
Yeah.
So we can still give him the praise.
And then singing with melody, singing with grace in your heart. I mean, you know, I think, Lord, you sure that one's for me? It says singing. I mean, I don't know if that's for me or not.
Singing from the heart.
That's right. Singing from the heart. So then Rachel just said, amen. Even though my levels are still not low, I still want to praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what she just said. Because, I mean, now we're getting ready to go through another scan and things like that. But she got some of her blood tests back or whatever. And, I mean, they may not be as high as they, you know, but they're not where they need to be. But anyway, but we're still going to praise the Lord. We're still going to thank him for life and thank him that, you know, the joy of the Lord. And this year here, it's like, you know, got a new boost. Got a new boost in life. Of course, the Lord always gives that, but then a new grandson, you know, as busy as my wife is now with the grandson, it's like, we ain't got time to think about that now, you know, so always going here and going there, and she always says, because her and Maddie or whatever, they say, well, I'm coming over here, coming over this day, that day, this and that, and I'm like, so I never know what day, what's going on, but anyway, so we still got to praise him. So,
amen.
See, and I'm sure that people have been in a situation like you're facing right now. Whoever's listening right now, I'm sure there's things going on in your life, and I mean, it's just, you need to surround yourself with people that will build you,
mm-hmm.
not just devour you and consume you, but that will build you. And I believe that's what the true body of Christ will. That don't mean that we stand for sin. That don't mean that we stand for this or that. But if you're battling sin today, you need to be surrounded by somebody that's going to build you up and let you know how you can get past that. Well,
yeah.
I didn't do it before. Well, surround yourself with somebody that it took them a while to.
Mm-hmm.
But God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And but if we don't ever accept that, everybody just always says, well, he says his grace is sufficient. But if you've never accepted that or received that, then you really don't know the what it really means to have his grace applied to your life. But, I mean, we take it for granted. And sometimes I do, Brother Aaron, thinking that, well, we're on a Christian radio station. Probably everybody that's listening has probably heard the word. And that may be happening. But still, yet there's probably still people even in the middle of that that are battling certain situations,
mm-hmm.
and need to know that in all things, whatsoever word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, giving thanks to him.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for that. If it wasn't for the storm, would I even praise you in it? If it wasn't for, you know, the rain, would I pray, you know, if it wasn't for all these things, would I still give you glory? And I'm going to give him glory. And I mean, just for breath in my body, I give him glory for it every day. And I'm thankful we can do that. So, very good. Very good.
Before we move on, I want to clarify and unpack a statement that I made more. That's just how my brain works. And I don't want to say something and everybody seems to think I'm saying something I'm not. So, good Kingdom Corner. I don't mean to directly move away from it, but I only got a couple minutes because I'm making room for manna come back in here. Do I think every time a Christian is sick is because they've committed sin? I do not think it's every time. All right. I do think there's a possibility, though, from Scripture. But I think there's several different reasons sickness is there. First of all, we have to understand sickness and disease is a result of the fall. Like 100%. It's a result that was not there prior to the fall. And sickness and disease will not be there in the new millennium. The new heavens and new earth and the kingdom of God. It won't be there, period. But we've seen in the New Testament where some sickness is for the glory of God. Now, what that entails, we can unpack more. We don't have time for that right now. We have some where they were getting sick and dying in Corinth because of their sin. Then we have also parts where there's a spirit of affliction.
Infirmity.
Or infirmity, sorry, thank you. Spirit of infirmity, that's in the New Testament as well. There's spiritual things sometimes behind sickness. Maybe there's sin problems behind sickness. Maybe it's not either one of those. It's just our poor diets, and it's what we're eating. I think sometimes we blame the devil like for things, but all of our bodies, we're living in a corruptible body still. We're living in a mortal body. So they start to eventually go downhill somewhat. Does that mean we have to take us out? No, but there's like when I get up in the morning, my feet hurt. I don't think it's the devil making my feet hurt. I think it's the fact that I'm overweight and like to eat a lot of food that inflames my whole body, especially drinking soft drinks. And so all these things I think have to be thought of in the body of Christ. And we don't talk like this. We just blame everything on the devil. But if there's some things in our life that we're in sin, that's what I meant. We can't pray ourselves out of disobedience.
I got you.
So if we're sitting here, I'm saying this because I love everybody.
Right.
Because I'm saying this same kind of stuff in my own life. If I'm smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, knowing the consequence of smoking, and then those consequences start coming into manifestation, God is not your sugar daddy that comes get you out of those consequences, but so you can keep smoking without the issue. I'm not saying here that everybody has to quit smoking. That's not my objective here. I'm saying that if there's things that we're putting in our body that we know produce a certain outcome, we cannot continue to put those things in our body and expect God to be our genie in the bottle that gets us out of the consequence. Is that fair? Like, is that a fair statement, think?
I believe that's a fair statement.
And I think that's sometimes whenever we take, it's almost like we're trying to take advantage of God's grace and God's goodness and saying, I want to keep doing what I want to do, even though I know it's poison to my own body.
Yeah.
And that doesn't stop there. Like, I'm talking about that with myself. Like, we are very well aware that the food we're eating today, especially processed food and all this, is not good for us. Like, there's no other way around it. Like,
I know.
It's not, and yet we still divulge on it every single day. Most time we divulge on it because we can't afford the healthy food, or we don't like the healthy food.
Or don't take the time to do the healthy food.
Or don't take the time. And is God merciful? Absolutely, he's merciful. But there are times that all throughout the whole Bible that he says, like in Deuteronomy, I think it is, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, he talks about sewage. And I know it sounds silly, but like he's talking about the product of what comes out of the body after a person eats, making this as G as I can. But he even gave instruction how to separate that from the city. Why didn't he just go heal everybody when they got sick from sewage? Because that's not how it works. He's teaching us how to live. He's teaching us how to be smart. There was a reason that those who had leprosy was put into camp. Now, you can say, well, Jesus went and healed all of them. Jesus did go and heal them. And God's really good. And if the Lord's sitting there telling you to go lay hands on every sickness and everything, great. But I think there's also wisdom that comes along with this. And I'm not trying to be fear, but what we do is we say faith over fear, but then we live however we want to.
We live the opposite.
And so we think, well, I'm going to be disobedient to God's word, but didn't expect God's blessing. Or I'm going to put things into my body that are completely contrary to what's healthy, and I know they're not healthy.
Yeah.
And do you know how many times I hear people say the Lord's convicting them over what they're eating, yet we never repent?
Right.
And then I'm not trying to play judge and executioner. What I am trying to say is, there's a lot of reasons that we're sick in America, and not every one of them is the devil. Mm-hmm. And not every one of them is our sin. Some of it, Paul talks of rest. Paul talks of one place in Philippians that this one guy is almost dead because of ministry. Like, he literally says that. Like, he's put his whole life on the line for ministry. And some people speculate, was this guy completely exhausted? Was this guy on death threats? Was this guy going to be a martyr? But Paul even says, I know what it's like to have nothing else poured out. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be all this. And was the Lord providing? Absolutely. But I don't think it's – I just really think what we have going on today is not about we're pouring ourselves out for the work of the ministry. We're really pouring ourselves out to luxurious, indulgent living styles. And then we expect the Lord to get us out of that mess. And I think what, again, these 5 to 10 years, and I don't mean to keep going back to that, I think even what we're putting in our body is going to change, how we're taking care of it. And I could be wrong. I mean, I could be very wrong, and you can call me out. But I think it's real time that we get serious about taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost and stewarding it. And that, I mean, we're more passionate about tattoos than we are about food that we're eating.
Yeah.
And I both people want to say, well, it's a stewardship of the Holy Spirit not to smoke, or it's a stewardship of the Holy Spirit not to get a tattoo. It's all these things. Well, it also could be a stewardship of the Holy Spirit, what we're eating, putting into it.
Yeah.
And so,
well, most likely, unless it's like a unsanitary or like low quality tattoo, like that's going to be less harmful to your body. Like it's not going to come with those health issues if you're getting a tattoo versus, I'm not saying like everybody go get a tattoo.
Right.
I'm just saying versus all the sicknesses that come along with, things that go into our bodies, even if it's chemicals and things like that.
So. It's hard to, and I often say this, if you're not doing something, if you're not doing it, it's hard to harp on it. But if you are doing something, then it's easier for you to preach and teach on it. Because if you're doing it, you know, you're preaching and teaching on it, then it's, you know, it's like, well, I'm doing this, but it's going to be tough for people that's now about the food situation. You know, I'm not going to stand up in my pulpit there at Madrid and talk about them eating sweets or eating this. And this morning, these things were right here.
These
so
Debbie's
guess what?
Be out in the...
I ate one. I can't wait till them two are gone where I ain't got to eat them. So, but I mean, because really, really, even when y'all got harping, I know we got to go. When you got harping about our vehicles and how clean, you know what I'm saying? That one time a few months ago when y'all was harping that, I sent you a picture of my truck. Well, guess what? I'm really not going to send you a picture of my truck now. Well, because then that picture there looks a whole lot better than it does now. But see, it's about everything that we do. We're spending so much time doing this, and spread thin here, there, and that's why we just get there, unload everything, pile it in the corner, and just let it lay. Then we go, you know. So
I'm very
really,
guilty.
Really, that's how. But that's what we've chosen. Just like eating healthy. I mean, it takes time to prepare that. Mm-hmm. Rather than having something that goes in a microwave or goes in the oven real quick and pops it out and let's eat, we can be, by the time that you can do something that is going to help you, you can already be done, cleaned up, get ready, you know, and go.
So. Yeah. And I'll say this one last thing. We'll read a second question. Even with this thought pattern, I hear a lot of people say, well, yeah, but it doesn't matter. God's broken the curse. Everything's good. Everything's good. Well, yeah, but Paul told Timothy, take a little bit of wine for your belly, not because of the wine. It was medicinal because the water wasn't good. The water was not hygienic. The water was making people sick. Paul did not say, just keep drinking the water. You're going to be okay. The Lord's going to heal you. He actually gave instruction on how to get around the water because God in his goodness made it a medicinal purpose that, hey, you can don't have to keep drinking the nasty water. There's some other way to do it that's better for you. Or even if you have to keep drinking the nasty water because there's no other way around it, here's something to help you. So that's where I'm not anti-medicine, because even Paul laid out a medicinal thing right there to try to say, how this is how we're going to counteract the dirty water.
Right.
Now, well, that's another conversation to get there. But I'm not anti-medicine, but I am anti some things. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Lane Surveying. Who asked Pilate for Jesus' body and furnished the sepulcher? Scepter. I can't always say that word wrong. Who asked Pilate for Jesus' body and furnished the scepter? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here on this beautiful Tuesday morning, the 11/19/2024, and it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And I just love Revelation, and I love the Word of God. And how else are we going to get whole unless we get all of the Scripture?
Right, right.
And so it's good. And I just, the more I eat of it, the more I want to eat of it, and the more I want to devour it. And it's rich. It's rich.
Right.
It's a buffet that never ends. I want to say this, and we're going to get another manna. The second trivia question, who asked Pilate for Jesus' body and furnished the scepter, was Joseph Arimathea, Luke 23, and that was Brother Steve. So great job, Brother Steve.
That sounds great. But all right, here we go for some morning manna. Morning manna here. Then I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. I think this has been brought back to my attention in the last several weeks. And so I think we hit this verse of scripture so many times. But it's oftentimes things that you talk about with people and things that people ask you questions on. You know, just as we was talking about different things that you do to your body, and I think this is why it's, you know, connected, really. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearances of evil. See, but here's what I think on it. I believe the Word of God is pretty plain, teaching us what we should refrain from doing. So many right now are trying to determine in their mind if they are doing what is right or it's wrong. That's just another thing the enemy would love for you to dwell on. We can look out in the world and see evil trying to creep in every place we go. The only way to overcome evil, though, is with good. We know there's none righteous, no, not one. And we learn in Scripture that Jesus is the only good thing. So in order to overcome evil with good, we must allow the light of God to shine in our lives. Darkness has to be pushed back. Darkness has pushed back the light so much and has cast a shadow over many situations. It's almost like some are wanting to abstain from evil, but still live in the shadows, or what I like to call the gray area. In order for our light to shine effectively, we must abstain from darkness. If we get it down to where we can understand it, we realize the Word not only tells us not to do the things of this world, but also abstain from all the appearances of it. Those things can promote evil in our lives. If there's even the slightest of doubt whether or not what you're doing is right or wrong, I say abstain from it. Because if it slightly appears evil, I don't want any part of it. It can hurt ourselves and be a stumbling block for others. God is good all the time. And all the time I want to surround myself with those that promote the good things that has been given to us by Him. Be strong, stay strong, we strong. Of course, you know, if you went to those scriptures there, it's not only abstain from evil, appearances of evil. It talks about how we should also quench not the spirit. We should pray without ceasing. We should do all these things. But understanding that really, that if we associate, I always tell this testimony, Anna, about how when I was a child, you know, oftentimes you'd ask your mom and daddy, hey, can I go here? Hey, can I go there? There were certain places, for whatever reason, I don't really know, but now I've learned. As being a young adult, you know, many years ago, I learned quickly why my parents chose not to let me go to certain places. But at the time, I just thought they didn't like me. At the time, I thought, man, they don't want me to do nothing. They want me to live. They don't want me to do this. They don't want me to do that. But then you begin to learn. You begin to see. And so maybe it's because when you go there, even though maybe you don't really see it as a child or see it as a young Christian, maybe, why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? I'm not going to fall into that trap. But see, the thing about it is, we must understand that actually, if you have a godly mother and a godly father, they are training you up, because the Lord has allowed them to have this life to be able to train up, you know, just mm-hmm. like you and Brother Ethan, y'all getting ready to have Ezra, you know, and it just, the Lord has allowed you to be the parents, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to, you know. So what does that mean? That's saying sometimes when they grow up, they're going to ask, hey, can I do this or do that? But you're going to say, hey, no, because I see the appearance of what it looks like, that I feel like it's going to affect you in a bad way. Mm-hmm. And see, and I mean, I know we grow, and I often tell this to parents also, and I say oftentimes we are trying to expect more out of our children than what mm-hmm. we could ever attain. You know, well, somebody has told me the thing before, well, do as I say, not as I do, or not as I've done. Mm-hmm. And I get that to a certain degree, but it's almost like we're trying to raise the standard on how we think that somebody ought to live their life. Actually, according to, well, if you do that, this is going to happen. If you do that, there's going to be repercussions, of course. But when we was a child, and, you know, now I always say, everybody talks about harps on iPhones and things like that. And I say, listen, if some of you adults, and I'm talking to people that are 60, 70, 80 years old at the church, and I said, if some of you adults in here, you know, you expect the kids to do this, expect the kids to do that, your kid to do this, your kid to do that. If not, if they're at a certain place, you know, and I can tell on my phone where they're at, I'm going to ask them why. And I say, oftentimes, it's a good thing probably your parents didn't have that. You know, your parents couldn't see where you was at.
Yeah.
You know, so oftentimes we're trying to allow that. But still, yet, yeah, that don't mean that we don't abstain from it. That mm-hmm. don't mean that, all right, that gives me a right to do this or that. But what that's telling me is that we as a people, we must do that. Because, I mean, honestly, you know, some of Brother Aaron was talking about, you know, taking a little wine and this and that. And, I mean, everybody wants to say, well, so that means I can do it now. You know, so that, well, is it like Bible days? Is it like that back years ago? Is the wine the same as it is now? I mean, I don't think so. We could harp on that for a while, and I can do that. And I said, people ask me, is it okay to do this? And I'm just always to the point of saying, listen, I like to get it down, you know, where it's like yes or no. Yes or no, one side or the other. Just like Jesus, there's no gray area. There's mm-hmm. no middle ground. If there's a middle ground, you're out.
Yeah.
Because he said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So for those that think, you know, I just get right here in the middle, I'll just hang out for a while. No, because that's the area we're talking about, how you're we're trying to live. And I think now there's a greater desire to be closer to Jesus than we've ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I understand the last little bit. Maybe I have, in the last couple of years, had a little bit more leeway as far as time on my hand. As far as not really time, but saying, like, if somebody actually said, hey, I got to have you today, is there any way that you can do this? Is there any way that you can do that? Now I have the liberty to say, yeah, I can. But see, when you're tied down to a certain position as a job, I understand you got to provide for your family. But see, over a period of years, hopefully we can get past that and understand that we can be, that it's more important for me to probably be there for somebody that really needs me as their pastor, or needs me as somebody, a shepherd or something, to look over them more so than me to get this done or that done. You know,
mm-hmm.
so. And sometimes my wife, she, you know, and I think about this, Sister Rachel, I think about how, you know, she, sometimes I don't aim to, but do I always do stuff for everybody else, but actually not take care of stuff at home? And I mean, she can probably say amen right there, but because it gets pushed back. We had plans to do a couple of things this past summer, but guess what? I said, well, I guess we'll get to it next summer. I mean, you know, so, and just like, you know, knowing that at the end of the day, let's take time for the most important thing, which is Jesus, and let him line them things out the way that it should and should not be.
Amen.
So it's just very dear to my heart for us to abstain from all appearances of evil. I don't want to be surrounded by it, because I don't want people to think, well, what? Why are they hanging out with that one? Why are they always with that one? Why are they all? And I know what that one does, okay? But, or this one does, or that one does. You say, well, I don't have to partake of it. You're right. You're right. You don't. And I'm sure you don't. But the thing about it is, at the end of the day, if you're always around that one instead of this one, then they're going to associate you with that kind of crowd.
Mm-hmm. So, if you have fellowship with darkness.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So we cannot do that.
That's what I love about that verse is, you know, whenever something is clear, like in the Bible, we can just point people yeah. straight to where that thing is.
Right.
You know, if it's a question of something that's in yeah. there, but if it's something that, you know, is not explicitly yeah. in the Bible, then we can use those principles, abstain from all appearances of evil. And that principle is what helps us. And that, I think that conviction does play a part in that, but there's also, I mean, even if something is not, you know, our culture is different today, so there's certain things that they weren't doing, but we can still look at, you know, what's the reason that we're doing this? What's the motivation that we're doing this? Is this idolatry? Is this, you know? And I think once we start to ask ourselves those questions is when we start to see the similarities of, you know, things that are mentioned in this word, and there's still an answer for everything. And usually when we're asking, I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit, we should already be feeling conviction over this thing anyways, before we ask a pastor or a brother or sister in Christ or whatever it may be. And a lot of times with my experience and even other people that have asked me of things, like I'll say, well, so are you, you know, are you already feeling conviction about this? And they'll say yes. And sometimes it's, we want to hold on to those things so much that we want somebody to give us permission to keep doing those things. But a lot of times I believe if we're conflicted about it, that's a pretty good sign that, you know, we're being convicted of it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We are to reject every form or appearance of evil in our life. Amen. Good word. Good word, Pastor Josh. All right. Well, we are moving right along here this morning, and I'm not for sure that we would have time. We're going to have time to actually do a topic, which is completely fine, because our topic today we is going to talk is what's called Christian liberty. Now, let me kind of unpack what Christian liberty is.
We kind of already set up for it with what Josh was talking about.
Christian liberty, theologically defined, is that we're able to do stuff in the New Testament that we weren't in the Old Testament because the law has been fulfilled. All right. Now, do I believe in Christian liberty? I do, actually. I do believe there's a freedom, and I do believe there is his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. What I do not think Christian liberty is a freedom to sin. I think it's freedom from righteousness from the law. And so do I have to be circumcised anymore? No.
No.
Do I have to sacrifice goats and turtle doves and all these things? No. Do I have to come to a Day of Atonement every single year? No. Do I have to keep coming back to the temple? No. I am the temple. This is Christian liberty. It is not the freedom to sin. Or now we have the freedom to do, say, eat wherever we want to because all things have become good.
Yep.
You have to be very careful there. And even in that scripture that we used about all things becoming good, that's talking about the dream that the Macedonian call of the Gentiles coming in.
Right.
What was once evil and cut off is now being brought in because it's blessed. And this is what Romans 11 through 9 was talking about, that Israel rejected, therefore Gentiles got brought in. So I think we have to be extremely careful to say, well, now that the blood of Jesus is applied, we can do all this because we have what's called Christian liberty. And I just think you have to be very careful to make it about. It's never the liberty to just go against God's word. It's never the liberty to sin. It's not the liberty to go sleep with whoever you want, say whatever you want, eat.
Come on.
It is actually the liberty to live for Christ in its fullness then.
I was going to say it's the liberty not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say.
It's freedom.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I mean, a common one that you hear, though, is like, well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, I've heard that excuse for taking part in sinful things and harmful things.
Wow.
Like, well, I can be in the midst of these things and I can take part in these things because I'm not afraid that I'm opening a door to the enemy. Like, the enemy is powerless. Jesus, greater is he that's in me. So I'm not afraid of the enemy tempting me or coming into my life or anything like that because I'm protected no matter where I go. And yeah, that if you just hear that and you don't if you don't reconcile any of the word with that, then yeah, that might sound good to your itching
right.
ear, because that's going to help you follow a lot of your desires that you want to do. But I mean, you can't ignore all of the things that talks about being separate. And you know, if you clean the house but don't fill it, then seven more
come on
are going to come back.
Wow.
And be looking for a place to, you know, if you're not full of the Spirit. If we are full of the Spirit, we're probably not going to be going to some of these places that we're trying to defend.
Yep. Right.
Or taking part in the things that we're trying so hard to defend.
Yep.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of deception out there about this topic, too.
Yep. Yeah. The word, and I think it's very critical for us to know that, of course, we know this, or we should know this, that the Word stands for itself. We are the Word. You know, you say, well, defend this or defend that because of what you can or cannot do, but the word is word, and I mean, you know, it stands for itself. But I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, that he needs me and you to carry out that word.
Yeah.
So we are the people that's going to his call. The remnant are going to be the ones that are going to walk it out, and be the ones to testify, be the ones to preach, be the one to teach, be the one to do all these things. That has to be said. The word's got to continue on. He's always mm-hmm. going to have somebody that will continue it on as well.
I think that there's this concept, though, that, like, and it has to be a religious concept, but that if you go to church and you read your Bible, then, like, people should know that you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, that's how people are going to see the mark of your life that you're a Christian is if you go to church, maybe you serve, maybe you do things, and you read your Bible. But nothing else in your life looks separate than the world, though.
Come on.
And it's like some in some circles or in some areas of the church, it's like if you're the one that does decide to come out from among them and start living separate and start living different, then you're the one that's weird, or, you know, we kind of talked about that earlier. You're the one that's weird. You're the one that's crazy. You're the one. And so I think there's just, it's like really right has become wrong and wrong has become right. Even in like, and I'm not saying this is the remnant because we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. So I don't know the condition of anyone else's salvation except for my own.
Right.
But it does seem like you hear and you see that more and more now is, you know, as long as we look the part and do what we're supposed to do, and we go to church, we do what we're supposed to do, people know that I'm a Christian. So, but I'm going to still live however I want. I'm going to still do whatever I want. I'm not going to give up anything. I'm not going to look different than the world. I'm going to try to be inclusive to the world. But I just don't see that in Scripture.
I know. And I'm afraid that too many people, even children, this is where my heart goes out sometimes. Even children think they just grow up in it. That's it. You know, but you never see them. You know, you never see no change. You never see no, are they great people? Yes, they're great, but you never see no activation of repentance in their life. And see, and I believe that we as a body will continue to have, is it because I do something wrong? No, it's just so, and you know, that's why I said I die daily. I believe we would have, because that's what Jesus said to go preach. Repent. Mm-hmm. Repent. And I mean, I think, who's he talking to? He was talking to the disciples there. Yeah, here's what you need to preach to all of Israel. Here's what you need to preach to all of them. Repent. Repent. I mean, because that's very important for us to know that I want to have a repentant heart to the place of where that I don't give in to all these temptations of the world, where I don't, you know, and if something happens and I live in that gray area, do something that I should not do, then repentance falls upon me where I don't do it no more.
Yeah. John 8. I think these are good verses for this. So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So again, that's pretty important.
Good. Yeah.
If you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? So they're actually kind of confused in John 8. You're telling us the truth's going to set us free, but we've never been enslaved.
Wow.
Because they don't see it.
Good point.
And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin.
Yep.
And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if you want Christian liberty, I think that's Christian liberty.
Yeah.
That the power of God has come to set you free from sin. Christian liberty is not the power to continue to sin.
Yeah.
Because John 8:31, if we abide in his word, then we will be disciples.
Indeed, yep.
But if we leave his word, if we practice sin, he's calling us a slave. And he says, slaves will not be in the house forever.
Right.
Only sons will.
Wow.
And the way to become a son is to abide in his word. Amen. To be in Christ.
Amen.
To be in Christ.
Yep.
You're not earning it. You're putting yourself there.
Right.
I'm going to be a disciple.
Yep.
And how am I a disciple? I abide in his word.
Abide in it. Amen.
And who is the word? Jesus.
Jesus.
It is Jesus.
That's right.
And so, and Jesus will set you free. And when Jesus sets you free, free indeed.
Yep.
Megan Fortner, she always tunes in early before she comes on, but she said Romans 2:13 is so good for what you all are talking about. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm probably in a different version than you all this morning, but for the hearers of the law are not righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to get back in here with Miss Megan Fortner on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We'll be right back here.
All right, we are back here after that break on Mornings of the Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network, and we should have Miss Megan Fortner with us here on the line. Are you with us, Megan?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So good to hear your
Sounds
voice. So good to have you back on here. It's been a little while. And for I know that there's listeners that have been keeping up with you and your testimony and your recovery. But for those who maybe don't have you on Facebook, those who maybe, and we've definitely prayed for you over the air and everything, but for those who maybe aren't caught up on what's been going on in your life, catch them up on that if you can, because I just want you to testify of, you know, what happened, but what the Lord has done in your life through this, you know, this accident. But I don't believe things, I believe everything happens for a reason.
Come
so
on.
It may have been an accident, but the Lord's gonna, he uses it for his glory and for his purpose. So just kind of testify on where you're at and just your testimony of what he's done for you.
Praise God. So on October 21st, we were in an accident. Our trailer and Kubota had flipped over. And my husband and I were kind of out assessing the situation. And then one thing led to another, and I got smashed underneath the trailer. The trailer fell over on top of me. Broke my leg, both bones in my leg. Popped my hip severely out of place. Thank God it's not broken. God saved my life. There's no question that God was with me that day, because if I would have trembled in fear, I would have been smashed head to toe. If I would have been an inch over to the left, the wheels would have smashed my head. If I would have been 2 inches over to the right, the back end of the trailer would have smashed my head, because that's the situation I was in. So it was all God. I just sensed when I heard the trailer coming over, I just sensed I needed to move my body in a certain way, and that saved my life. And it was just the Lord. I mean, there's no question at all that it was the Lord. And so he saved my life. I mean, that's just, I shouldn't be here today by the devil's plan, but God has a better plan, like he does for all of us. And his plan is for good. And I have too much that I have to do here to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
No question.
Too much
Praise
work
God.
In the kingdom to be done.
That's awesome.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's what I love about this. I mean, I don't love it for you, because I know, like, it's not funny. Okay, let me try to get my words together here. Like, it's not funny, but I just kind of see the whole picture of, like, you know, you are a go-getter for the kingdom. Like, you are an active, like, you're a fighter. You're like, let's go, let's do this, you know. Almost like, you know, it kind of reminds me of Paul, how he had that, he had that zeal, that desire, and he just had the motivation to keep going and doing and building. And I just see that over your life and how, what, you know, the calling that the Lord has on your life, to stay busy for the kingdom. But still take care of your home too, which is very important. If that gets out of balance, it's not good. But just seeing that, you know, of course the enemy's going to try to take out somebody who is doing, you know, working for the kingdom, on the go, doing as much as they can. But in it, I see, you know, I know that the Lord has to be teaching you things and has a purpose for this season, even though it's, I'm sure, very frustrating for you, because you're such an active person. And I can't imagine such an active person. I mean, basketball coach, working, you know, working in ministry, raising your kids, being a wife, helping your husband with, you know, your all's business or what you do for work outside of those things. And I just, I can't imagine the frustration that does come along with being, you know, homebound, being in the hospital. But kind of talk about how the Lord has, just been good to you and what he's done in your life since you've been recovering from this. 'Cause we know that he was with you. We know that was the Holy Spirit that was like, move over here, to spare your life, because he, you know, he has that, these assignments for you. He has a calling for you, and he is not going to just, you know, he's going to protect you. And he loves you. But just talk about how this recovery process has been, and just testify a little bit about that.
Well, I want to kind of piggyback back a little bit with everything you guys have been talking about. We're doers of, my family are doers of the word. You know, we get in the word, we live the word, we breathe the word, we eat the word, we speak the word, we walk the word, Amen. We stand the word. you know, we are the Word. So whenever the trailer hit me, my two little boys jumped out of the truck. They were there, and they were like, "Mommy, Mommy," you know, worried. And instantly, I was, after I told my husband three times to call 911, instantly I told the boys, "Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Let's pray that nothing is wrong with Mommy's organs. Let's pray that," because I had already, like, did a test, right? I moved my leg, moved my back, moved my other leg. Everything was working, so I knew my back was fine. But we just instantly prayed. That comes from knowing who you are and what you have in Christ,
oh,
right?
That
comes with
that's
knowing
good.
That you are a child of God, that God hears you when you pray, that you ask, you know, you seek, you knock. He's going to do all the things he said he's going to do if you do the word. Like, it's just, that's just it. You have to be doers of the word. So I wanted to go back to that and say that we prayed instantly after I told my husband three times to call 911. You know, we prayed, and then God was with me the whole way. I'm not saying I didn't have pain, you know, and stuff like that as they were putting me in the helicopter and all those things, but I trusted him to do what his word said he is going to do, because I love him and I live for him, and I know he was going to come through. And my boys knew he was going to come through. They never, you know, they never questioned it. Me asking them to pray gave them peace over the situation too. So I just wanted to give a little bit about that, because when we do what the word says, God shows up mightily in our life, and he changes the whole entire atmosphere of the situation that you're dealing with. So I wanted to share that too.
Amen. And, you know, that even kind of goes along with what we were talking about earlier, because Pastor Aaron was talking about the importance of, you know, having practical wisdom, but also mm-hmm. trusting the Lord.
Amen.
And having faith in him. And, you know, I think that is a good picture of that, because you're like, okay, we're calling 911. We're going to be wise here. We're not just going to, we're not just going to, you know, put the demand on the Lord and not have any wisdom here of calling 911, but we're also going to trust the Lord and pray and know that he's the ultimate physician.
That's right.
And yeah. And so I think that's a great picture of even, you know, what we've been talking about today.
Amen.
So,
yeah. Megan, how old are your boys now?
10 and 7.
Wow. Just to have the heart to pray for mama, that means a lot right there, and that means a testament of how y'all have taught them. I appreciate that.
Praise God. Well, I mean, even my little 7-year-old, whenever we were praying, my 10-year-old was praying boldly in English. My 7-year-old was praying in tongues.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So that I've never heard him do that. So whenever I was like, let's pray. And I'd close my eyes because I just didn't want to look at what the devil wanted me to look at. So I closed my eyes. And I was like, let's, and my littlest one's like, Mommy, are you dead? I'm like, no, I'm not dead. I'm just closing my eyes. And then I was like, let's pray. And then next thing you know, I hear somebody praying in tongues because I have my eyes closed. And I look up, and it's my little one, and he's singing a song in tongues. So, I mean, I was overjoyed even in that moment, like just blown by God in that moment. I mean, you could be in the worst situation of your life. Like, here I am underneath the trailer. My leg is messed up. But I still have the peace that transcends understanding, and I'm just so blown away by God and happy in that moment. Most people be like, how can you be happy in that moment? Because I just watched what I've been teaching my kids, what I've been putting them under, what I've been just come to fully in my eyes. So how could I not be happy in that moment? You know, like, how could you not?
Yeah, that's like we said earlier, in all things. So at that moment, Sister Megan and her family, in all things, gave thanks to the Lord.
Gave glory to the Lord in word and in deed.
Wow.
And, you know, you think about that too. Like, you know, earlier I was thinking about how God had a purpose, you know, for you through this. But what about your kids? Like, I'm thinking about that now. Like, just that they're never going to forget that. And the Lord, you know, he's so sovereign and so good that he allowed, you know, protection over you, but an opportunity for them, for their faith to really be activated. For their prayers, for them to be able to see their prayers be answered right in front of them and get experience. And, you know, it's just amazing to see how the Lord truly works everything together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He's definitely doing that for your all's family. So, but is there anything else you want to share? We still have time. We still have like 20 minutes. So, just kind of going along with this testimony along the timeline here.
Well, I mean, God's just everything that we've asked for, like in prayer, he's done. I mean, there's not one thing. There was one day in the hospital, and I think it was like day 3. I was sitting there and I was just crying, so overwhelmed by the love of God and everything that he's been doing. Because, like, I know that I'm a child of God, right? And I know that God answers prayers, but I have seen him move in a bigger way than I have in this little time, you know, than I ever have. And he's always come through for me, you know, that it's never been a question. And he's always grown me and shown me, and, you know, because I love him and I want to do everything that he wants me to do. But I was just so blown away by, as soon as I would ask the question, it would be answered.
Wow.
As soon as my heart was heavy, someone showed up. Like, you know, it was never, he always came through. He always came through. And I just want to encourage people that he's listening. He's there. He wants to work. And sometimes the reason he can't work is because we have something that we're hiding. We think we're hiding from him, or maybe we have unforgiveness, or maybe there's, you know, something going on. So I always say, check yourself, you know, and see, you know, what is it that I need to, but God is always there. He wants to give to freely. He wants to give freely to his children. So are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Are you doing those things? Because it was a thing where I would just say, Lord, my heart is heavy, or Lord, this, and then boom, it would instantly show up in that moment. And he's been doing the same thing since I've been home. So he's just loving on me and showing me, listen, Megan, I'm here. I love you. Your plan's not done. We're going further. We're going far. You know, we're going. And that's just I don't even know how to explain it. He's so good. Like, the word is true. It works. Like, that's just, it just works, you know? I don't know. That's
wow.
It. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, even in the times, I'm sure that, you know, you've had moments too where you've had to take thoughts captive. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see your leg like that, when you see your body, you know, dislocated, or with the scars, with the, you know, having to do the physical therapy, all of these things, whatever it may be, I'm sure that those, you know, thoughts come and things yeah. like that. But I love, you know, there's a realness to it, but truly just standing upon the word, reminding yourself of the word, reminding the enemy of the word when he tries to come
yes.
at you. I mean, I know you've talked about that a lot on here, Megan, and
yeah.
Just to see, you know, that you're not just teaching these things, but you're living it out with your mm-hmm. own life. Like, you're living this out right now. You're being a doer of the word with the situation that you're in. And how could you maybe encourage some listeners that are going through something like this right now? Maybe it's not the exact same thing, but, you know, maybe it's something like this. And how could you just encourage them to stand firm and really know who they are in Christ and stand firm in their identity? And I mean, even just your testimony here is an encouragement itself, but what would you say to them?
Well, I would just say, you know, whatever you have need of is in the Word of God. I mean,
amen.
Anything that you, if you're sitting here and like, okay, God, I need to know, I need to get in the Word, get in Google, search up what you're feeling, and there'll be word that pops up, and then you go to that word, or go in prayer, sit there and just say, God, I need a word, I need something from you, and he will drop a deposit of the word in your heart, and if you don't know it, search what he sent you, it'll pop up. Like, that's just how good God is, mm-hmm. you know, and, that's my encouragement to you, is just stay in the Word of God. I've been sitting here in this house, and I've been sitting at the hospital. I had the Word playing. I was in my Bible. I was reading books. I was talking to my faith friends. You know, I was doing all those things, because in the moments of weakness is when the devil's going to attack you the most.
Mm-hmm.
And when my body was weak, the devil would put pictures of me dead in my mind.
Mm.
Wow.
Because his plan for me was death.
Right.
God's plan for me was life.
Amen.
And so when my body was weak, just the other day, my body, I hadn't been sleeping, and my body was so weak. I was so tired. And that night, in the night, he started to put pictures of me dead in my mind. And he started to put pictures of my children crying and trying to go on without me in my mind. And so I would stand up and just say, no, you know, what you meant for evil, God already turned around for good. You're already defeated, but you're already seeing the plan of God of whatever you tried to do walking out of my life. So I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're messing with the wrong person, and you should have known that the day that I was still alive after you tried to kill me. Like, you know, and so, wow. But amen. It took me also reaching right. out to my husband, because I needed my arms held up in that moment. Because
you need that unity, that covering.
Yeah, I was so tired that the words were coming out, but the boldness behind it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I had to have my arms lifted up. My husband said to me, he said, "Megan, what would you say to somebody in this moment?" And I told him, and he goes, "There you go." And so then I just, you know, that was all it took. I'm just like, all right, I've had enough. You're done.
Oh, yeah. What I would tell to other people, I'm a child of God too. So I'm going to tell that to myself. Tell that to the enemy.
That's good right there.
That's really good. I love that. And, you know, I believe that there's, you know, so many that the enemy, you know, we don't want to give him more credit than he deserves, but he does put those images, he puts those fears, those things in a believer. Now, he's probably not going to waste as much time with somebody who's not doing anything for the kingdom. And I mean, no offense, but I mean, he is out to steal, kill, and destroy, but there's some people who are already destroying their own life, and he doesn't really have to. And I think we have to remember that, because I think that helps us from giving him too much credit. But we know even scripturally he came to Jesus and he tried to tempt and he tried to, you know, come against him and all of these things and try to get him to come into agreement with things. Yeah. But what did Jesus say to him? "For man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God."
Right.
That's it.
And that's exactly what you're saying right now is, you know, we can't live on bread alone. We can't live on, you know, even the things of this world alone. Like, we have to go to the Word, and that's how we're going to make it through these times of testing, the times of trials, the times of things just the wiles of the devil. I mean, I actually never really knew what the wiles meant until Pastor Aaron was talking about it one morning, and was talking about it's when the wiles of the devil are something when it just comes out of nowhere. It just pops out of you weren't expecting it at all.
Come on.
And I think that it's just, it all ties together that, you know, the Word is what gets us through those times because it's consistent. The wiles, the thing, you know, life is not consistent. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we can rest assured knowing that the Word stays true and the Word's going to work. And it just, thank you so much, Megan, for sharing that, because I know that there's people who need to hear that and need to hear how to fight against, you know, when the enemy does put those things in a believer's mind, and how to just remind yourself of the truth and even the enemy sometimes.
Well, amen. You can't live on yesterday's manna. You've got to be feeding yourself over and over and over.
Amen.
You've got to be putting the Word in your eyes, in your ears. You have to. You just have to, because the enemy's openly showing himself today. He does not care. He will show himself. And so you've got to remind him. Pastor Mark always says, tell him a bedtime story. Tell him of his defeat. Remind him, once upon a time you may have done this, but guess what? This is your outcome. Wow. And so in order to be able to stay strengthened, you've got to be fed. You've got to be fed.
Amen.
And you have to be fed every single day, not from what you got yesterday, but from what you got today. So you've got to stay fed. You've got to stay powered up. And he's faithful to the Word of God. You know, you're obedient to him. He's faithful to you. The promises of God are true. They're not false. And,
amen.
They will come to pass in your life. You've got to just stay faithful to him so he can stay faithful to you. And you've got to speak what the Word says for it to come out, because God can't work if you're going to be silent. He's not going to be able to work freely in your life if you're going to be silent about what your needs are or what the Word says. Just like Jesus said to the enemy, "It is written, for it is written." So you're now going to stand up and say, "For it is written, I'm a child of God. I am above, not beneath. I'm going over, not under. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord." You know, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. You know, if you're not speaking those things to the enemy and letting him know who you are, he's going to tell you who you are. That's just it.
Yeah, and knowing, that's exactly what I was thinking, is knowing who God is first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing his character, knowing who he is, knowing the revelation that we receive of him through the Word, and then that is when we'll know who we are, because we are only who we are because of who he is.
That's right.
He's called us for he has created us, you know, we're only able to be transformed because of him.
Amen.
You know, he's the true vine. We're connected to him. And so I love that. I do. And I believe that that's really important to know our identity, know who he is. And I cannot remember the quote, but there's some quote that talks about, like, you know, just the power and the courage that comes from a person who knows who their God is and knows who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when anything tries to come against, you know, that it's not going to overtake a person who is knowing who their God is and knowing who they are, because there's you know, that's building our house upon the rock. That's being a stable person that's not tossed to and fro, that knows the word, that, you know, all, there's so many stories that talk about this, but it's part of having on that full armor.
Amen.
And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful that it's not just words on a page, but, you know, we were studying about the kind of like an intro to the Bible last night with our young adult group. And like, it's God breathed. Every single word it's God's words that are living and mm-hmm. that are there for us to get to know him every single day. And right. So, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, you know, your testimony. I love how you're speaking more about the less about the test and more about the testimony.
Sometimes
we hear a lot about everything that went wrong and not a lot about what went right. and then it's like, was that truly a testimony? Because, you know, when we focus on everything that went wrong, and we are giving the devil more credit. But when we focus on what the God is doing, what he's done,
Amen.
That's giving him the glory. And we know that you do that, Miss Megan. So is there anything else that you want to say to listeners, say to us, or just give God glory for this morning?
I'm just thankful that, you know, he is who he says he is, and he's, you know, he does what he says he'll do. And he has grown me a little bit in this, because there were times where I was like, I just want to sit around for a little bit. But now it's like, no, I'm never saying that again. Like, I don't want to sit around for a little bit.
That's right.
You know? But I mean, he's showing me things like, hey, remember, look, you know, he shows me all these things. But what I love about him is he's so loving in everything that he teaches me, you know, and he's so, he doesn't point it out to be like, ha ha, or I tried to tell you. That's not what he does. You know, he's just like, hey, I want to show you that I love you, and just remember these things that you used to say. Now, look, what do you think now? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And he's like, yeah, I don't need you to do that. Right. You know, so
right.
I just want to remind you that he loves you. He's for you. He's faithful. The word works when you work the word. Don't be silent to the enemy, because it doesn't matter what stage of life you are as you're following the Lord. The enemy comes to all of us, and he's trying to knock us out, because there's people set before you or before us in what we're going to do, but just laugh in his face, because he's already lost. It doesn't matter what he's trying to do. And one other thing that I want to share is, you cannot do this alone. God is always with you, but you have to have your faith friends. You have to have a church family. You have to have people that can be there in the times that maybe you're tired and you need someone to help build you up. It comes to all of us. So don't be like, oh, I'm weak. No, you're not weak. You have to have faith friends. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You wouldn't have put that in there if you didn't need people to sharpen you. So
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, Sister Megan, before you go, do you, you still do your, social media platforms and stuff too?
I am working on getting that back going. But before this happened, I kept feeling like there was a shift or something. So I was like, I need to stop this for a minute, because there's something shifting. I just know there's something that I need to stop this. And then like this happened, and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, I knew that I wouldn't be able to fulfill what I was doing. Right. Cause I was doing every week. And so God just there, but it is coming back. I'm talking to a lady right now. Everything's going to start happening again. But I'm just giving my time to rest. But yeah, it's coming. There's stuff there already. But at this point in time, we're kind of waiting and seeing what the Lord wants to do. So.
And that is so good. And I know, I can only understand that, you know, need to take some time off and away from that. But I mean, I just want to make sure that people knows that they can still go there and see your content and things that you've put out there before.
Yeah, I believe I've listened on Spotify. So all your content should still be on Spotify, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's still there. Yeah, and on YouTube. I have a YouTube, Faith and Fire with Megan. I've got Spotify, Apple, iTunes. But tune into my Facebook page if you're on there, because God told me the day after I had surgery. I want you to share your testimony of everything that you're going through during this time to show how good he really is, because to him be the glory. And so tune in and read. I mean, it's a lot, but it's there, and it'll encourage you and strengthen you. It's all him. I praise him for everything he's doing, but still tune into my Facebook, because there's so much content there, even though it's not video, that will definitely stir your faith and get you fired up.
Yeah, awesome. Well, there are some videos on there, because I've seen where you went live a few times, and that got me and a few other prayer ladies here stirred up, and we were in prayer with you then.
Thank you.
So, yeah, make sure, just Megan Fortner, you can find her on Facebook if you want to keep up with her. I love Facebook for that reason, of being able to keep up with, you know, ministers and people who come on the radio, because it's just a good way. It's an easy way to keep up with anything, any announcements, any links to things that you want to get to. So again, though, thank you, Megan, for coming on with us. We pray you have a restful day, but, as much of a productive day as you can. I know you want, you want to have the productive day too. But we love you and we appreciate you, and we're so thankful for you, and who you are to the body of Christ.
Can we pray for Megan before we go real quick?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to pray for you, Megan.
Thank you.
Lord, we come to you right now. We just thank you, God, for this divine appointment, Lord God, that you've allowed us to be a part of this radio station. I thank you, God, for Sister Megan and her family. I thank you, God, for your healing that's being applied to her life right now. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've kept her and you sustained her and her family, Lord. And I pray it now, Lord God, that her ministry, Lord G, that through you, Lord God, that her ministry, Lord God, will begin to rise to a new level, Lord, as you're allowing her, Lord God, maybe to have new things brought to life, Lord G. Jesus, I pray right now, God, that you just touch that region where she's at right now. Lord, that she would be set on fire for you greater now. Her and her husband, Lord God, and her two boys, Lord, you just move upon them and bless them. In Jesus' mighty name that we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love y'all. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. Yes. So thank you for that.
See you, Megan.
We love you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep,
all right.
Another great interview this morning.
Yeah, That wraps up our morning. Very thankful for all of our listeners, and we will be back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Brock's 2 Radio. Thank you, Brother Josh.
Oh, it's been a great morning. I'm always it's a privilege to come and be a part of Tuesday mornings. So.
Amen. One of my favorite mornings.
Well,
don't tell the other
ones. Don't tell the other ones, right? Yeah, I got you. You tell them that too every time, don't
well,
you?
Well, I'm just joining the bandwagon because when we looked at the most listened to on one of the streaming things, it said it was Tuesday. Or on it was a Tuesday episode.
Now, that
episode.
Was a year ago. It still is?
I don't know. I got to check.
I got you.
It was the episode from there. So I don't know if it's every Tuesday, but it was at least that one Tuesday.
Yeah. That one where we had somebody to interview real good. That was it.
All right. Well, we love you guys. We'll be back here with you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.